Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
We do have a game on Sunday, Browns-Chiefs here. And I got to say, everybody keeps using the S word with it. Not that S word, guys. I know the uniforms are brown, but come on. Spoiler. The word spoiler for the Browns, not just this week, but with Cincinnati not yet mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, with the Ravens at the end of the season. And it's interesting that we're still using the word spoiler when the Browns are 3-10.
Yeah, I was thinking about something in watching the Rams 49ers game last night, Nick. And we talked about the 49ers yesterday and some of the parallels attached to the Browns. And it just kind of feels like when you're at this point of the season, it doesn't matter if the Rams can't score at all. The 49ers are just going to put up 0 points on the board, and they're just going to Brock Purdy's going to melt down, and they're going to find a way to lose that game, even when the Rams are gift wrapping it to them. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's the part of the season that we're in. Like, so many people are talking about the Browns being a spoiler this weekend for a few reasons. The one score games with the Chiefs, they want the Chiefs to fall down, and the fact that Jameis did beat the Ravens, Jameis did beat the Steelers. But I think we've just evolved into this part of the season where it's going to take a Herculean effort by the Chiefs. I think they're going to try, but it's going to be a Herculean effort to actually give the Browns a win.
So it's interesting. Like, I think Jameis is the reason, and I think this is something we've talked about. I think Jameis is the reason that people think the Browns can play spoilers. The problem is, it's not like there's the same magic in the magic wand every single week. You know what I mean? Like, yeah,
well, sometimes
okay.
It's a magic wand, and sometimes it's a pixie stick.
Yeah, or sometimes it's just an inanimate object. Like, sometimes there's not nothing in it. And again, I'm not saying that Jameis can't, but it's just an interesting matchup. Like, I think so much of the Browns' spoilers, starting with this week, is about the other team. It's based on the idea of, wow, this is a team you don't want to overlook. Like, okay. And by the way, I'm happy playing in the waters that I have no expectations. I expect this weekend, because Vegas says it's a 4-point game.
Yeah.
I expect it to be competitive. I expect that really the only game I think that they're going to look like they're out of it going into it's probably going to be the Ravens game, as long as Jameis is the starting quarterback. I'm content there. But it's interesting. Like, I 100%, I totally get something out of being the spoiler. 100%.
For this week, or you mean any week?
Oh, any of
forward?
These weeks.
And we have fun games coming up. Yeah. You got the Ravens, you got the Bengals. There's fun games coming up even beyond just the Chiefs. It does nothing for me.
So, okay, the Dolphins one does nothing for me other than it's going to be a game and I'm going to watch it because they're my team. But yeah, I mean, spoiling the Chiefs, Dolphins, it would be, there would be nothing funnier. There'd be nothing funnier than this being the only other Chiefs regular season loss. They go to the Super Bowl, win the Super Bowl, and one of their two losses is one of the worst Browns teams I've seen in 6 years.
I don't think this is a great Chiefs team. I've said that before, though, and we've seen how it all turns out.
To win.
Well, they always do. When Mahomes is your quarterback, you always have a chance to win. And we also played with the idea that they're just practicing during the regular season. And then in the postseason, he'll do the same thing he did last year, where he went through the Dolphins, then the Bills, then the Ravens, and the 49ers, and made it look pretty easy. But I do think there's something to the idea that this Chiefs team, they got to learn how to blow teams out. That's what Mahomes said 3 weeks ago. And they've not been able to do it. And no one thinks they're going to just start this week. So it's going to be a close game, Nick.
Yeah, what's funny about that is because what you just said, I don't think they're that good of a team. I think everybody thinks that, and yet they're 12-1.
I know. That's why people are expecting them to fall, is because you're not supposed to have a 12-1 team that looks the way that they do right now.
Is it? So I think what's interesting, because again, there are a lot of metrics that do paint them as an exceptionally lucky team, or a team that their record shouldn't be 12-1. I understand all of this. But I think some of that's also just haterade.
We can't explain it, Nick. That's the part I think that bothers a lot of people. We can't explain why Mahomes is always able to pull the rabbit out of the hat at the exact precise time that he needs to.
Is that inexcusable in 2024 to say the word clutch?
But when you watch Mahomes, you know there's more than just that happens around him. And you can call it the refs. You can attach all sorts of other things to him. But he always is able to pull it out. I think it's just a valuable skill.
What if I
would put it in that category that you're talking about right now, although we don't like defining things as clutch. I would put it in that category, but it bothers the living daylights out of football people because they can't explain it.
What if it's just the byproduct of winning for as long as they've won? And I mean, this goes even beyond the Mahomes years. Like, they've been a consistent winning franchise. They've missed the playoffs one time since 2013, since Andy Reid took over. I think it was year two. I don't think they've ever had a losing season with Andy Reid. They've won two straight Super Bowls. They've been in four Super Bowls since 2019. Like, what if this is just the byproduct of winning at an excess level? What if it's not even luck? What if it's just this is what happens? You just learn how to win on a different level. Because I think that's like...
Well, there is something to learning how to win.
Because there's just a part of me that when people try and like diminish what the Chiefs are doing, like, yeah, I think the Eagles look like the better team right now. I think the Bills look like the better team right now. But at some point, I just think when you win, excess. That's like, what it is. It's winning at an excessive level.
Listen, I don't know about the Eagles part of it, but I would say like the Bills and the Lions, for instance. You know, Bills and the Lions look like two better football teams to me right now. Yes, I can look at that and say it's not like we're saying the Chiefs are a middle of the pack dwindling team and they don't even deserve to be in the conversation. They're in the conversation. They deserve it, but they don't look like a 12-1 team. That's just irrefutable. But the thing that Mahomes does so great, third down percentage, they're best in the league. Red zone, they're best in the league. He just, the parts of the game that matter the most, for whatever reason, he's able to dial it in and lock it in the important parts of games, fourth quarter, five fourth quarter comebacks, leads football for quarterbacks this year. Like, he's just able to dial it in a way that I've just never seen another player do in football history.
I think here's a simpler way. It's the difference between Pat Mahomes and Joe Burrow. Like, Joe Burrow is having an MVP season statistically.
Yeah.
But, you know, for as long, now, ever since Joe went to the Super Bowl, and to do so, he beat Mahomes, was that 2021? Ever since then, the conversation has been, the conversation with quarterbacks, it's Mahomes and then Burrow, and then there's another thing. I think this is proof that this is just what Mahomes does. Like, Mahomes has consistently won, and he has not consistently had the most talented team around him.
Right.
I mean,
two years ago, that
was a rebuilding year. If there was ever going to be a year where the Chiefs just stunk it up with Pat Mahomes, that was going to be the year. And so, like, I'm not trying to turn this into anti-Joe Burrow, but I do think we have to say, like, okay, yeah, this probably isn't a great team either. And yet they're 12-1, and I would, if you said right now, the Chiefs are the field, I see no reason to not just say, well, I think it's going to be the Chiefs. Because they defy logic. They just win at a level that is, yes, that is incomprehensible. And by the way, like, I'm not trying to dog Joe Burrow, but like, all right, that's the difference between Mahomes and Burrow to me.
Well, I think Burrow is always trying to play his A-plus game and is always trying to turn it on and always trying to do that. I think Mahomes just picks his spots. I think there's something about Mahomes, and you watch this throughout games, he'll see something in the first quarter and be like, okay, I'm not going to take advantage of that right now, but I'll wait and I'll save for an important moment to use that. And then late in the fourth quarter, he uses it and he takes advantage of it. Like, I think he works on another level when it comes to things like that. But these games are all incredibly close.
And yet, we dial it back to the Browns part of this. Yeah. Like, if Vegas puts this a four-point game, Vegas is the one that had the first Steelers game at 3.5 points where you end up winning that game. Like, all right. It stands to reason you absolutely can beat this Chiefs team on Sunday, which is confounding given how inconsistent and at points just downright bad the Browns have been.
Can you stop Mahomes in the fourth quarter when it matters the most? I would still contend you can't. And that'd be the reason why I'm not saying a spoil is going to happen. I do think the game's going to look close, though.
You would take the Browns to the points then? I don't even know I'm willing to do that. This is a stay-away game because, with the Browns, I just don't know. Yeah,
I can't even bet pizza money on this one. It's a complete stay away.
I just wouldn't want to.
You feel bad about it.
I'd just get mad at them, and I don't need to be any more mad at the Browns than I already am. 216-474-0092. So actually, gonna start here. Can the Browns actually win this one? The Browns are 4 to 4.5 point dogs at home to the Chiefs, but the Chiefs have played everyone close this year. Are you feeling in the winning mood for the Cleveland Browns this Sunday? Quick hits coming up at 2:40. We've got Danon Hughes, who is a Chiefs radio analyst at 3. We've got Jason Pinkston at 4. Daryl Ryder, and I mean it this time, will join us at 6 o'clock today. But 216-474-0092, at Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin on social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. The question is, do you really believe the Browns can win this one? Because Vegas says it's an opportunity. That and the spoiler. And the number one reason people think the Browns can play spoilers here on 92.3 The Fan. We do have some sound coming from the Browns locker room as Myles Garrett. As a matter of fact, everybody in the locker room today was asked about Jimmy Haslam's comments on support of Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski. And when he was asked about that, here's what Myles Garrett had to say.
We got those guys right there leading the charge organizationally. So them being here, wanting to put the right pieces in play, that'll always give me confidence. So as long as you know, that's looking how it is, then I want to be here, and I'll be happy to play for Cleveland. So I all got to be heading in the right direction. We all got to be on the same page. And until then, I'm going to be here happily playing for this team to draft.
What do you make of that?
There's not a bigger endorsement than what he just said.
Mm-hmm.
Find me one. It wasn't just like, I want to be a Cleveland Brown until I retire. I can go off to Canton and have my name in the Ring of Honor and all this stuff. It was, as long as those guys are there, he's putting the voice to Stefanski, Barry. He loves the organizational setup. As long as those guys are there, then he wants to be here. Like, he clearly believes in these guys, Nick.
All right, I'm not doubting that. I also like to look for, why would he say this? And at this moment, if we remember, the last time the Morning Boys were on their show, which was yesterday.
That's right.
They had kind of weaponized Myles Garrett's career as a reason to look and maybe leverage Barry and Stefanski, and a reason why you shouldn't run it back. I know that the fellas in the locker room do listen to the station. I know that Ken and Anthony are popular with those. Could this also be partly a response to that? That idea of, because it's not the only time Ken and Anthony have done this. Lima specifically has gone to the, how long are you going to waste Myles Garrett's career, and what if he wants out because of the losing? Could this be part of that? Striking back at that narrative.
Oh, no, I thought it was more the idea, as long as Stefanski and Barry are there, he believes Stefanski and Barry are the go-for-it head coach GM. Like, they're gonna be the ones, and this is what I've given them credit for, by the way, the idea that they push the chips in the middle of the table. They don't just sit back passively and say, well, we're GM, we're head coach, let's just see where this takes us. They've always been ultra-aggressive in the name of winning. In fact, they were so aggressive in the name of winning, that's how we got in the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. That's how the whole thing eventually ended up crumbling, is because they were so ultra-aggressive. I think Myles likes that, because I think he's telling you right here, if it's those two guys, I believe they won't just sit back there and waste away my career. If you bring somebody else, I can't speak to that. You bring somebody else in the equation, they might waste my career. They might sit back and let the time just pass, and it is what it is. With those two, he knows they won't, and I think that's what the vote of confidence is.
I think it's either a message to Jimmy Haslam, which could be, and that is, you are right. If he is sincere in this, it's the biggest endorsement you can possibly get, and would be the thing that, even if you go to 3-14, might be the thing that ensures 100% completely there's no significant change there. I also think it could be a message outwardly as well. And again, by the way, it could be both things. Miles could believe this, and it also could be that there has been a narrative out there about what Miles and how is Miles going to take to losing, and Miles kind of pushing back on that. Because I think he's super cognizant of everything around this.
Yeah.
And so
he always has been.
Yeah, and so I think one, good for Miles. Miles has talked about a lot about leadership. And I think in the course of his career, it's not always been even. It's not always been maybe the kind of leadership or the right kind, or there's been what Miles says and then what Miles does. Like, if this is truly, whether I agree or disagree on either Stefanski or Barry is not the thing here. The thing is, this is truly what he believes, then to me, this is what a leader does.
But Miles hasn't been shy in the past to speak about things when he didn't like them. You know, that's why he bust-tossed Joe Woods consistently. Like, he was the first one to be like, Joe Woods, listen to what I'm saying here, guys. The guy isn't it. And he's not been shy. If he doesn't like something, he'll go after it. And
yeah,
I think
he's
the
been
idea
more
that,
likely the guy to do that than the guy to stake the put the flag in the ground.
And maybe this is him turning over a new leaf and trying to be a different type of leader. I'm not sure. Or maybe he genuinely just does like this setup. Maybe he's looking at it the way that I'm looking at it, where I see Barry, I see Stefanski. These are two ultra-aggressive GM and head coaches. Maybe he likes that setup. Because you don't get that everywhere. It's not across the board that you get people that are willing to do as much as these two have done. Even if they failed in doing so far, they've at least gone for it.
Now, I think what's interesting would be how much water does that carry with ownership? My estimation, my guess, the complete guess, because I don't know ownership, my complete guess is that this is the one that you want. Like, Joel Bitonio has been here for a very long time. Joel said very similar things. Joel's been here for a very long time. Joel's probably not going to be here maybe as soon as next year. So while you might love and respect Joel, there's not the fear there. Miles is the guy who this narrative in the NFL is, player can ask out whenever he wants now. It's the new NFL. I don't think you're afraid of Denzel doing that. I don't think you're afraid of even Nick Chubb now doing that. I don't think you're afraid of anyone on this roster doing it. But maybe Miles.
It's funny you mentioned Nick Chubb, because we care about what Nick thinks. But if Nick came out and was like, yeah, not the setup for me, we'd be like, okay, well, that doesn't affect Jimmy Haslam's day at all. You know, Jimmy will be like, all right, I guess we got to do something different with Nick Chubb. With Miles, he can't take that same approach.
I think it's interesting, too. I think it'll be really interesting to kind of see going forward, because Miles is up for another payday. And it's going to be really interesting to see how the Browns handle that. Just as an aside on this whole conversation, I think Miles probably has as much cachet, I would assume, because it's production meets stardom meets hardware meets your need for that guy going forward. But I do wonder, you know, is that like, does this linger into next year? Meaning, you and I talked yesterday at the end of the show, is this a rubber stamp that is carried on beyond this? Because like next year, you might be 3-14 again. Is that still the case?
You probably have to pay more for that. Yeah.
So I just think it's fascinating about like
he's been a good soldier. You've got to reward that.
Well, but is that enough to save Kevin 2 years in a row? I think it's going to be a really interesting thing to watch, because I think it is. Miles has been, I want to finish my career as a Cleveland Brown guy. This reads differently. Fair? Like there are extents to things that to my commitment to this franchise, and maybe his commitment to Stefanski and Barry is akin to or maybe even greater than his commitment to the Cleveland Browns.
Okay, I see what you're saying, because you can't one day make these comments and then if they moved off of Stefanski and Barry, then be like, oh, but I also support these guys. I see what you're saying. No, this was a clear stamp of approval that he likes what Jimmy Haslam said, that he wants what Jimmy Haslam said to be true, and that he's putting his voice to it.
216-474-0092, Miles Garrett with the stamp of approval. Maybe the best one you can get in the organization, that as long as Stefanski and Barry are here, he wants to be here. Slight paraphrasing there. When we come back, it's time for Quick Hits on 92.3 The Fan. It is an F-Off Friday, so let's get to F-ing off here with Quick Hits. JP had to make a store run this morning in between getting Liv on the bus and then the twins on the bus, so I bought bagels for my family for breakfast, and I watched in horror as my daughter Sophia ate her bagel with cream cheese like it was a cheeseburger. Like with a two.
Or she put it on top and then just kind of went for it.
Yeah. And I'll be honest, I still haven't recovered. I don't know how she came up with this. I don't know where she got it. It was funny. It was weird. It was awful. What's the weirdest way you've seen somebody eat something that made you go, like, re-examine how you eat things?
Yeah, I once saw someone eat a hot dog from the middle.
Mm.
And that threw me off. I think they were doing it to try to really get in my head. But they acted as if it was serious. So they didn't pick an end. They just went straight from the middle and acted like that was normal.
Did they bite all the way through?
No, then they did it like a soft chew all the way across.
Oh.
And it was very disturbing. And then they didn't say anything on it. And I think they were just trying to mess with me.
So it was a bit?
I think it was a bit. We never really got there. I said, what's going on with that? And they said, this is how I eat hot dogs. And I just accepted that as what it was.
So basically, they needed attention. Because that's kind of... I asked Sophia, and she told me...
Do you think that's
me,
what this was? Was this an attention?
No, she said, and her sister backed up, and then Ness backed it up, too. I must have... We have bagels quite often. I've just never seen it.
It sounds efficient, by the way. Like, if you're not into the idea of enjoying the bagel or eating the bagel for any sort of pleasure, it sounds very efficient.
It's a lot of tough bread. Yeah, bagels are very chewy.
Yeah,
that's
a lot. You get a lot of cream cheese on there. You could totally pull it off. Like if I'm in a hurry and I just want to feel the sense of hunger. I just enjoy food too much to ever do that.
It is the weirdest way I've ever seen anybody eat a thing of food, and I still need more time.
Omaha.
Well, Brock Purdy sucked last night, which brings us to the question of how much would you pay Brock Purdy, and what should the 49ers do about the Brock Purdy situation?
It's really tough. As that guy who for a long time said, I don't know how good Brock Purdy was, and then people accused me of being a hater or being stubborn, and then he really just does any good this year.
Yeah, he doesn't look any good.
His numbers, I think he's 15 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, but it's even more than that. Now the numbers match up with what you see, which is a lot of dying quail passes.
A lot of Jimmy Garoppolo and Brock Purdy.
They don't have a choice. They have to stick with him until they take their next swing at a Trey Lance, right?
Well, so this would be the season, that this offseason, that they would either pay him.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Him or decide not to, essentially. And I know the rumors out there were $60 million a year for Brock Purdy. You can't give him a $60 million a year deal. You can't give him a $50 million a year deal.
30?
I don't know how you give him a $40 million a year deal.
You give him 30 for three?
What do you do? I mean, yeah.
Is it the Baker contract?
You can give him the Baker deal if you wanted, but then you're also tied to the hip to a quarterback that may work with Shanahan, but we don't really know that that's a guarantee.
I think...
like, you have to have everything working outside of it, Nick.
By the way, if quarterbacks don't go 1-2, if a Cam Ward falls, if a Shador Sanders falls, do you see our guy Kyle Shanahan taking another swing at it, given how poorly things went with Trey Lance?
If that happens, could you see a scenario where Brock Purdy's with the Browns?
Yes, but don't depress me.
Okay.
Can you imagine him in this weather? Can you imagine him throwing into gale force winds? I can't.
He played at Iowa State. He could do that.
And he wasn't good at Iowa State. He's been good. He's been good in a scenario where he doesn't play a lot in awful weather. I think that's the telltale sign.
You're putting up a weather.
I just don't think he has a very strong arm. It's not Colt McCoy bad, but it's not a great NFL arm.
Okay, this isn't the Tua thing where 45 degrees and under, he just doesn't exist.
Tua's also from Hawaii. That one makes sense. All right.
Omaha.
Odell Beckham Jr. and the Dolphins have mutually agreed to part ways with 4 weeks to go in the NFL season, which is a nice way of saying the Dolphins were done having OBJ around, and he had no other recourse than to be like, I agree. He had 9 catches for 55 yards this season in Miami. Is this the end of OBJ in the NFL?
Yeah, I think he's done. The problem that happened with OBJ was that he started complaining about not getting targets and receptions, and it's like, you're on a team with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle and all these players. You're not going to be the star, man.
He's one of the few players. Like, he's like Aaron Rodgers to me. Just don't like him. Don't like him. Never really liked him.
Oh, I've always liked OBJ, though.
And then watching him up close.
Wait, what don't you like about OBJ?
I think he's like T.O. I think he's, except without the production and not a Hall of Famer, I think he's a guy who you go into a locker room, and I think he's a divisive figure.
I mean, the first 3 years in the NFL was the best 3 years of a wide receiver ever. He was so incredibly talented.
And then the next six years happened.
The fall off is so impressive. And I don't know. Maybe it's too much pizza boxes in Paris, if you know what I'm talking about, guys. Maybe it's too much of that. I don't know what happened to OBJ, but he fell off, and he fell off hard.
I mean, he became a superstar. When you start to believe that you're a superstar, these are the things that can happen.
It's not believe. He is. Like, if you told doesn't listen or watch any football fan out there, name me 3 NFL players, OBJ is likely to come up.
So is this like a fake it till you make it? If you just tell people you're a superstar, and listen, in fairness, he played like it for 3 years. So if you just keep acting like a superstar, NFL GMs will believe you?
It's not that. I'm just talking about his popularity more than anything.
Well, but I mean, I think even with fans, I think he always does cool stuff with his hair. He's got earrings. He has swag. He has a little attitude to him. Is it just that? Is it just you fooled everyone?
Well, he didn't fool anyone with Baltimore, and he didn't fool anyone with Miami, and I think he might be done.
You know what's crazy about it? There are still dudes in my mentions today, at Nick Wilson Says, by the way. What up? Follow.
Hello.
Who are, like, defending. I had several people like, he's a future Hall of Famer. What are you talking about? I'm like, he's not even the top 100 receiving yards in NFL history. He had 3 good years.
Yeah, he's not a Hall of Famer. Which is sad because it seemed like it was a lock. Like starting year four, it seemed like it was a lock.
I'm going to do a segue to play the Omaha, and then I just went up. Nah.
Bill Belichick, we read into the buyout details, Nick. Bill Belichick's buyout at UNC drops from $10 million to $1 million after June 1st of 2025. He will be the UNC head coach this upcoming season. But that's interesting. Remember, he gave his big manifesto, his big 400-page book, where it was his conditions and only his conditions.
Which he's refuted.
People read into this, though. This is a part of it. Is the whole UNC thing just a way for Bill to go 10-1 next year and then actually have the NFL come crawling back?
It would be one of the greatest Houdini magic acts ever. I mean, the rage of North Carolina fans, Bill Belichick's name would be mud, even if he won a national championship.
You get in bed with sleazy, and then you can't be shocked when sleaziness happens.
I don't think it's sleazy. If he was like 60 and did this, it'd be sleazy. He'll be 73 next year.
I think there's 100% on the table that this is how this goes down. I think he's got to go 10-1, though.
I think it'd be the end of Bubba Cunningham at North Carolina, who's got a lot of chances at North Carolina.
Once he cut off the suit jacket to look like Bill, I was done with Bubba Cunningham anyway.
That was not, again, Southern Bubbas can be quite problematic. But, I think it'd be the funniest thing ever. I mean, listen, the Bears, who could use the kind of cachet that comes with this.
Bears told him no.
The Bears will not touch him.
Bears told him no.
And Bill Belichick wanted to go to the Bears. Think about that. And the McCaskies and Kevin, that's probably Kevin Warren.
They're also weird, too. They told Jim Harbaugh no last year as well. They got problems in Chicago.
And this is where they are.
They're getting very picky over there.
Omaha! Thursday Night Football was a stinker, JP. Did you watch?
Yeah.
Just awful.
I know.
What a crap game.
I saw a tweet last night from a PFT commentator, and it was genius. It was like, if this is the game that you showed people, there wouldn't be a second game.
Yeah.
Like, if this is the only one you ever showed somebody a football, there would not be a second one played. And he's right, because it was brutal to the eyes. Also, brutal to my fantasy football team, because we started playoffs last night, and Cooper Kupp, nothing burger.
That's enough of that. I can't have fantasy football talk on
the
show.
It's the only time I'll bring it up. It's fantasy football, and he did nothing. They measured it. He got 4.5 miles worth of cardio last night. Zero receptions, 0 yards.
We're never going to get that time back that you talked about fantasy football on this show. But the Rams eked out a win over the Niners. The postgame made more headlines, though, than the game itself. Kyle Shanahan admitted linebacker Devondre Campbell refused to go in the game after losing his starting spot earlier this week. He also walked off the sidelines. Here's his teammate, Charvarius Ward, on Campbell.
I mean, he's a professional. He's been playing for a long time. I mean, if he didn't want to play, he shouldn't have dressed out. You know, he could have told him that before the game. So I feel like there was some stuff that he did. Definitely hurt the team because, you know, D went down. We needed a linebacker, you know, and I think Flynn was banged up too. So for him to do that, that's some sucker stuff to me, in my opinion. Like, it's probably going to get cut soon. So, you know, it is what it is with that.
How is this different than what Jadeveon Clowney did?
Well, Clowney wasn't mid-game.
Yeah, but in the game he said, I'm only going to play in this game on third downs because I'm mad about Miles, and then he got benched. He didn't suit up for that game, Ravens game. How is this different than that? I was thinking about it all night. Like, it's an awful look.
It's like a cousin version of it. It's great.
Awful look. It didn't end Jadeveon's career. Obviously, he went out with the Panthers. But, I mean, this is, to me, it's just as bad of a look. I am surprised Devondre Campbell has not been cut yet.
I'm surprised, too. The only one defending him at this point is Josina Anderson. I can't find anyone else with a pulse that is defending this guy. In team sports, you just don't do this stuff.
Also, does Josina best friends with his agent?
Like, well, has to be something around there.
Find out Devondre's side of things. I think we know his side of things. He was upset that he was not going, that he had lost his starting spot. I think this is pretty cut and dry.
Jax put you in the hurry up offense there. CNN has announced that there is a Kobe Bryant docuseries premiering on January 25th. This is supposed to be the one, okay? It's going to be a 3-part series. It's going to dive into everything Kobe Bryant.
Everything?
It's supposed to be everything. The same way the Jordan Rules one was supposed to be everything, and then it kind of wasn't everything. We'll see how they handle this one. Is there any intrigue to a Kobe documentary that's supposed to be the one?
I'm not really a Kobe fan, and I never was.
You were a Shaq guy, right?
Yeah, but even that, like, I don't need to watch a Kobe thing for 5 minutes of Shaq. I mean, again, no disrespect to Kobe. Great player. May he and his daughter rest in peace, but I have no interest in this. Like, I just... Because here's the thing, it's just going to be in the vein of the Jordan one, I don't think it's going to be all that interesting. It's just all these documentaries that are coming out now are just puff pieces.
Sports, maybe that's what the answer to it. Why is sports documentaries, why have they jumped the shark? Why are they not nearly as good as they used to be? Well,
because,
and I think you answered it right there.
Because you do a puff piece, it makes the player or the player's family happy and everybody likes it.
It seems too filtered. It seems too fake. It seems too like, okay, what did they leave out of this that they could have put in?
I mean, even 30 for 30s now just propped, but like the Jets thing. Nobody cares about this outside of New York. That's why Mark Gastineau manufactured some feud with Brett Favre. You hurt me, Brett. You hurt me. No, he didn't. I mean, I think the whole thing's... I honestly think we might be past good sports documentary. Bill Simmons, the new stuff, the Andre the Giant one. Okay, didn't really learn anything about Andre the Giant. Just rehash a bunch of old footage.
But do we have too many of them, or do we just not believe what they're presenting us?
So I think it's a little bit of both. I also think we live in an era where if you want to learn about Andre the Giant, you can search on YouTube and find the same material that they're culling over for these documentaries. If you want to find out about Kobe, you can find these same interviews, similar things being said. Like, yeah, the Pippen Jordan thing. We knew they were feuding before that documentary. That just brought it out and brought it to a different level. Like, almost everything that was said in any of the documentaries I've watched on sports, I've already known or had a whisper of, so there's nothing surprising. There's nothing new. There's nothing groundbreaking because we live in an era where everything's documented in real time. That's a really good official answer.
You
there.
Go off there.
Yeah.
You go off.
I'm going to tell society what.
That's right.
But Danan Hughes, Chiefs analyst. We're going to see if he's concerned about this game. Browns, 4-point dogs at home. Danan, next on 92.3 The Fan.